case is Vladimirova against the Attorney General, number 03-1852. Mr. Trace, we see you again.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. This case is a little bit different. I think there was, in this case, some substantial testimony on an expert witness regarding a claim for asylum based upon religious persecution. And we have in here the one-year bar for not filing the case within the 1 year after arrival in the United States, and the problem of this court not having jurisdiction over that particular issue pursuant to statute. And counsel makes a case for that, and on his face it seems that that's what the law says. We only missed it by a very short time because it was the case, the asylum case, I believe, was filed in May of 2001.
In your view, sir, how did the immigration judge treat this case? Did he treat it as an asylum case or as a case of withholding of removal?
I believe he treated it as an asylum case. And I don't believe he got to the issue of what he would do if he really treated it as a withholding case. That's part of the problem, I think. I don't know if it measures up to withholding because he didn't analyze it under those terms. He did analyze it under an asylum term, an asylum basis, finding that the burden had not been met by the applicant. I just want to make one point.
Supposedly, if you haven't got an asylum case, you haven't got a withholding case. Right?
Well, supposedly, right. Logically, it would seem to follow that if you can't establish a reasonable fear on that basis, then how could you establish at least some more substantial probability that these events would happen against you, or the persecution would happen upon your return? However, I don't necessarily agree with the judge's analysis. I think the harm that he talked about, he rendered it fairly insignificant under what he thought was the current law at the time, and felt that these beatings, this incarceration, and the hitting in the stomach were not significant enough even for asylum.
Well, there's a miscarriage resulted.
That's correct, Your Honor. And I think that it probably was enough for asylum. It might possibly be enough for withholding. And I think he should rule that way. And had he analyzed it on the withholding issue, then this court and everyone else would understand the basis for the denial.
Well, let's assume that it met the standard as to past persecution. How about future, the threat of future persecution?
I don't think
in the face of the State Department report, how much impact should that have?
This court's, many courts in the circuit, many panels have dealt with the issue of what's really happening in Bulgaria and what's been going on over the last the recent 5 years, and maybe since the years of the revolution, 1989. And there's been language in the opinions saying that the people who were there before are there again. It's a socialist government. The people who are afraid of these people are still afraid of the same people. And the religious intolerance persists, not only against maybe the Word of God Church, but many other faiths. And there's all kind of intolerance in Bulgaria politically against Macedonians. And if you're not Eastern Orthodox Bulgarian, you're not a member of the majority ruling society there, and everybody else is fairly excluded and discriminated against. And I think there's many cases to that point. And the State Department report at that time talks about the Constitution allowing for religious freedom, but in practice, it really doesn't happen. So I think there's evidence that, in fact, the country conditions are such that we support.
Well, as the IJ looked at this case...
I'm sorry?
As the IJ looked at this case, I gather that he thought that past persecution had not been established. Am I right?
Yes. That's
so if he was wrong on that, then he didn't give your client the benefit of the shifting burden. Is that correct?
That's exactly the point. I just have one more point on that one-year problem. Precluded from review from this court jurisdictionally on the one-year discretionary decision on the one-year filing. One of the problems with that is if this court can't, by statute, deal with it, the statute does say that either the asylum office or the immigration judge or the Board of Immigration Appeals should deal with this issue. And I think the respondent, or the petitioner here rather, suffers because the board really, in their review, it's just a review without opinion, and affirms the IJ. So we're not getting any feedback on that issue. And I think that's a serious problem. And I think that in this case, when the board doesn't make a decision on that issue, that possibly this court could have jurisdiction. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Here now from Ms. Friedman.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Nancy Friedman for the Attorney General. Just quickly, it seems that perhaps petitioner is attacking the board's streamlining procedure in this case, which this court has already ruled on. But regarding, first of all, the court's jurisdiction to review the asylum case, it is clearly barred. I think petitioner would even concede that it's clear from the statute that the one-year filing deadline is jurisdictional. It's as clear as a statute can be, and every court that has spoken on that has agreed, even the Ninth Circuit. I think what petitioner is arguing basically is that it is unfortunate that there is that time limit, and I agree with him. I think it's an unfortunate circumstance.
Ms. Friedman, did the IJ understand that he was dealing with holding a removal case and not an asylum case?
Absolutely, and I think that's the reason that in light of the one-year filing problem with this case, I think that's the reason that the immigration judge went ahead with his analysis. I mean, he could have stopped after saying you're late, you filed untimely. He could have stopped, but instead he went ahead and looked at the evidence of persecution in the case. And I think petitioner agrees that when you don't meet your burden of proof of establishing asylum, you also
Why doesn't this pass persecution? I think that's one of the issues here.
Well, it's not passed.
I mean, he compared it with Asani, which is Judge Ripple's case, of the fellow lost a few of his teeth. Here there was a miscarriage. Is losing your teeth more serious than having a miscarriage? Or?
I don't know if the seriousness is comparable, and honestly,
you seemed unaware that we had reversed Asani.
Correct.
You seemed unaware of that. And then he cites this Chen case, and that's a humanitarian grounds case. That has nothing to do with this.
Correct.
So he's, wide of the beam there. He cites another case here, this Zalega case, which seems to have absolutely no bearing on this case at all.
I think in my brief, Your Honor, I analogized to the Bucur case, B-U-C-U-R, in which the petitioners had been arrested a couple of times and held briefly, and that the court found that was not persecution. It was either discrimination or harassment, but just did not rise to the level of persecution. And of course,
but the trouble is, after he, relies on authority that has nothing to do with the case, page 8 of his opinion, he then presumes that there wasn't any past persecution, therefore never gives the applicant the benefit of the shifting burden, and then simply relies on the State Department report to save the day for the government. But the government had the burden at that point. How does and he does he absolutely he just simply relies pulls the State Department report out of the air and says, well, this carries the day, but he doesn't even understand the government has the burden.
Well, I think you're assuming though that you have a petitioner that's established past persecution, correct?
Well, I certainly don't think that the ALJ or the IJ, excuse me, relying on all of that, relying on the material he relied on, gave the petitioner a fair shot at proving it. I mean, he just badly assessed the thing. It was a simple error of law he did.
Well,
he didn't understand what he was doing.
No, I disagree, Your Honor, because I think if the situation is very similar to numerous cases that this court has found there was no past persecution. And I've cited them in my brief. It's a case where you had, you know, a group of five people having a meeting for religious gatherings, and they were arrested twice for a couple of days.
But getting back to Judge Ripple's point, you agree that the immigration judge clearly miscited the cases and did not properly shift the burden to the government.
No, Your Honor. I'm sorry if I misunderstood. I don't believe that the burden should have been shifted to the government in this case at all, because that only happens if someone has established past persecution, which is not the case here.
In any event, you know what? The other thing that's missing here is any reference at all to the State Department report in the year that the applicant suffered these injuries. We know that the State Department didn't take basically the same view then.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. You're referring to the...
We have the State Department report in here for the year of the of this proceeding, but we don't have it for the year of the actual injury to her.
The 1997 country report is part of the record. It's at page 340.
What does it say about he doesn't seem to, he doesn't talk about it at all.
I think the information is very similar on the religious issue.
So the State Department said when she was injured things weren't too bad, and she was injured. Now they still say things aren't too bad, but it's all right to send her back.
Excuse me, Your Honor.
In other words, you just told me 1997 and 1999, the State Department gave about the same estimation.
Yes.
Okay. And the first, 1997, she was hurt. She was injured.
Correct.
But now the IJ is taking the view it's okay to send her back because by 1999 things are all right.
Well,
why should we give credence? On what basis could he give credence to that State Department report? They were obviously wrong in 97.
I disagree that they were wrong, Your Honor. I don't see any evidence to the contrary to establish that the State Department was wrong. Because,
well, I'm not sure what the State Department said, for one thing. And the IJ's analysis seems to be, well, the State Department didn't say anything about people being beaten up, therefore they weren't being beaten up, isn't it?
No.
So is the logic of the thing?
No, Your Honor. What it says and what the immigration judge recognized was that there were some problems, there was some discrimination, there were some requirements that certain religions had to register and things. That's not the same thing as establishing past persecution. And that was the case in here.
It's pretty clear that small Protestant sects, even in 1999, were not treated equally with other religions, though, right?
There is some evidence. Well, I'm looking at the State Department report on page 244 of the record, which discusses some restrictions for some non-Orthodox religious groups. The registration, there were some incidents of Jehovah Witnesses being required, finally getting registration after a lengthy delay.
According to the IJ, some small Protestant sects were not allowed to proselytize.
Correct, and that's what the State Department says. But again, that's not the same as establishing past persecution.
Here he's talking about present conditions, whether there'll be future persecution.
Well, I think he's referring to the State Department reports from the relevant time period when the petitioners were there. That's what he's referring to, because his first question was whether they had been persecuted during the time period they were there. And he looked at the reports from 97 and 98, which are both part of the record, and noticed that there were incidents of discrimination and registration requirements, and incidents of harassment or police misconduct. But again, this court has noticed many times and decided that that is not sufficient to meet their burden of proof. And that was the situation here.
Assuming that that's their burden of proof, of course.
That's correct, and that was the situation in this case.
It depends on whether they established past persecution, I think.
That's correct. And I see my time is up, so I will conclude by asking the court to affirm the decision of the board. Thank you very
much. Thank you, Ms. Reed. You have 4 minutes, sir.
Thank you very much. I just have one point that Your Honor's raised about on what basis the judge did analyze the claim. And he says in the record on page 4 from his opinion, when he discusses the 1 year problem, and he says, I would find that the respondents are barred from political asylum after deciding that they did not file within 1 year. In the next sentence, he says, notwithstanding that, though, I'm going to analyze their claim because I think that one could reasonably disagree with this assessment. So I think he pursued it on the asylum basis right after that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Trace. And thank you, Ms. Friedman. The case is taken under advisement.